This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, Jeff, let's go to John Greco, who's standing by on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hey, John, how are you?
What's up, guys? I'm doing well.
Staying safe?
Hey, John.
Just making sure everything's okay with you there, John. First of all, I want to ask you a question that we just had a guy on from Washington, J.P. Finley and Trent Williams. And do you think Trent Williams would be a good fit here in Cleveland, knowing that you would have to make a trade and pay him a lot of money?
You know, I do. If that's their strategy, if they're not trying to go high with an offensive tackle pick in the draft, I think it is a good strategy. Lockdown left tackles don't grow on trees in the NFL, as we all know. So if you can, guarantee one and that you can have one for two, maybe 3 years, depending he stays healthy, I think it's a safe play because, when you see teams that struggle protecting the passer and with these excellent pass rushers that are in the NFL now, offensive tackles are at a premium and you have to pay to get them. And I think he's worth it, like I said, if he stays healthy. Now, if that's not their strategy, if they're trying to go young in the draft and just pick one of those high-rated tackles at 10, then they go that route. But I don't know. I don't know where you would be with paying two free agent tackles and then drafting a guy at 10 to play tackle. I'm not sure if that's in the cards or not.
John, to me, it's a big question. And in all honesty, I was all for drafting a guy at 10, and then J.P. Finley, who we just had, made me think about things a little bit. He seems to think that Trent Williams can still be the player that he was who went to the Pro Bowl seven straight times. I don't know. You tell me. A 32-year-old offensive lineman who hasn't played 16 games since, like, his second year, but still, when he's played, has been at a high level. Do you think after sitting out a year, his body's better, rested, whatever, and can still play at that level, so you go ahead and make that move? Or do you take the shot and invest in a guy who you think could be your left tackle for 7 or 8 years?
It's definitely a coin flip. For me, I think I'm still in the corner of drafting a guy and hoping that you pick the right guy. There's obviously it's a tackle heavy draft and there's a lot of talent. So that's the thing. It's like, do you pick the right one? Do you guess right? Do you do all your homework? Obviously the risk reward if you draft a guy is greater than, signing a 32-year-old that's, sat out a year. As I say that, I think Trent's been working. He's obviously going to be healthy, fresh coming in. He'll work a little bit of rust off if this offseason ever gets underway. But I wouldn't see him take a step back in his skill set. If he's healthy, he's going to be the player that we all know, that we've all used to seeing. But, getting back to drafting a guy, if you pick the right guy and develop him and he comes in and he's a stud, and then you don't have to worry about it for, the latter part of a decade.
Hey, John, can you take me into the mindset? Because I don't know that fans can understand this or appreciate how things go in a locker room. So, let's just take you for example. So when you got drafted, you're the 65th pick overall. You're a third rounder. You walk in the locker room and the veterans look at you like, what? Like, you're a third rounder, and how long until this guy gets my starting job? Or this guy, if he's a third rounder, I look at him and, obviously he's going to add depth to our offensive line. And I wonder what expectations you put on a guy that you draft 10th overall if he's a left tackle. Like, should you assume that he is going to start game one?
I would assume that, yeah. If I was in that locker room, if I was in that offensive line room and we drafted a guy at 10 to play tackle, I would expect him to be out there day one. And I think that's kind of the current climate in the NFL. Speaking from my personal experience, I was a third rounder, so that's kind of, that's kind of middle of the road as far as day one starter. The question with when I came in was, am I a tackle or am I a guard? And obviously it didn't work out for me at tackle, so then they said, well, let's bump him in and try to, go from there. Worst case scenario, we have added depth and quality backup. And then, obviously things didn't work out for me in St. Louis, and, I had a great career in Cleveland. But, enough about me, but, if you take a guy at 10 to play tackle, best believe if I was in that room, I'm doing everything I can to get that guy ready. That way he can help us win in week one.
John, how tough is it for a guy, a couple of the guys in the draft, Wirfs from Iowa in particular, you keep hearing, yeah, he can play tackle, we think. And that scares me. As good of an offensive line prospect as he is, how do you know whether a guy should be a tackle or a guard? What are the key things?
That scares me when you start talking that way. I always hesitate in saying that. If I look at a guy now, if a guy plays guard his whole career, if a guy plays center his whole career, can he adjust and play tackle? I don't know. Unless you actually see him take quality reps at tackle in games, I don't know if you can just assume that. I think you're rolling the dice on that. But if it's a guy that's played right tackle his whole career, maybe in a situation where he's protecting a left-handed quarterback, then you do everything you can to see if he can, switch up his footwork and play left. And it's not a layup. It's not an easy given thing. It's like, okay, you can't just be like, oh, hey, go do this, because, I golf right-handed. If you ask me to hit a tee shot with my left hand and left-handed club, I don't even think I'd probably swing and miss. So I think it's a little bit more difficult than people give it credit for. But that's not to say that it can't be done. There's guys that are just so gifted athletically, and if they work at their technique and they're able to get over that mental block, they can have success playing multiple positions.
Former Brown John Greco with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That said, how big of a score was Jack Conklin for the Browns at right tackle?
Huge score. I mean, he's played on an offensive line that opened holes for the best running back in the NFL, one of the best running backs in the NFL. They went deep into a playoff run, so you know that he's durable. This offense that he's going to be in is a lot of predicated on a lot of play action, so you're not going to be asking him to vertical set 70 times a game and block these pass rushers. So he's going to be in an offense where he can really pin his ears back, lean on people in the run game, and move people for our running backs, and then, work off play action, work off timing throws, get into his rhythm. And everything that I see, he's physical, he's smart. Just from listening to him talk about how he's going to, he can't wait. If there's a young guy that comes in, he wants to take him under his wing and be a mentor. That's the kind of attitude, that's the kind of leader that you want in that locker room and in that meeting room. And I know with other guys, other veterans in that position group, that he's going to be a great fit for them.
John, the way this offense was put together last year, and now with the additions of a key tight end, a key right tackle, a left tackle of some sort on the way, it's clearly like you're handing the keys to a sports car to Baker Mayfield. And I would assume with that, and even though Baker seems to be a guy who handles it really well, comes a lot of pressure, I would think, even more so than he felt last year, to make this thing work. As a guy who would be a part of that offense, how would you deal with him throughout the year and try and help him along, help his confidence if something needed to be said, done, or whatever in that area?
Well, I don't think he needs anything said or done to him. I think he's a strong enough, mentally strong enough person that he's going to be able to handle all that and put it all aside and play his best game. I was extremely excited to see all the pieces that they made in free agency early on, and excited to see how they build in the draft. But, with Baker moving forward, I think that, we always talk about he plays with a chip on his shoulder, and we like his attitude and everything as a fan and as a teammate. I would love that. And you just want to go out and see him succeed. And I think this year, with all the expectations that maybe they weren't putting on themselves, or maybe in the locker room they had a different mindset. They just wanted to win last year. But I know there were a lot of heightened expectations on paper this time last year. I think this year they're just kind of putting the blinders on, kind of putting the earmuffs on and going to work, whenever that may be. And I'm excited to see what happens. But I don't think there's anything that guys need to say to him or do. I think he's just so focused and driven internally that you're going to see the best Baker Mayfield this year.
Hey, John, the Browns brought in Austin Hooper to play tight end. As an offensive lineman who's already there, what does that say about the commitment to the offensive line that you're willing to maybe go to a two tight end set a lot more often than we've seen in the past, and just the pressure that I think it's got to take off of just having five guys on the line on any given play?
You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword because, you know, when you have two tight ends, you're going to get condensed boxes. You know, you're going to get nine guys in the box, eight, nine guys in the box. So it's, you know, when you look at it, when you look at the screen and when you're looking in front of you, it's going to be, you would think it'd be more difficult to run. And that's where I was alluding to when we were talking about Conklin with the play actions. You know, when they work that stretch zone and you get guys moving and cut guys on the backside and get the running backs going, I think it's going to be great. But adding a second tight end, what it's going to do to defenses on mismatches, you know, is, are they going to put a linebacker on him? Are they going to have a safety? You know, he's big for us. He's going to be the big guy that a safety is going to be trying to cover, and he's fast and elusive, and he runs great routes, and he can find those open holes and zones, and that I've watched him over and over in Atlanta. So I'm excited about it. I think he's going to be a big time threat in the red zone, which you know the Browns kind of fell short on last year. I know after each one of those games, we were kind of thinking, man, if they'd have just made this play in the red zone and came away with seven instead of three, you know, we were on top of these games. So I think that's going to be a huge, huge piece to the puzzle this year that you're going to see. You know, it's going to result in a lot more success offensively.
Former Browns lineman John Greco joining us. John, we need the player perspective on the most important question that faces the Browns now that there's actually a quarterback in place.
Oh, this is huge. A lot of pressure on this question.
Yeah.
So,
orange helmet.
So say it again.
Orange helmet. Are the players in love with it, or do you wear it because you have to, because the fan base doesn't want to mess with it? What would the players think of a different helmet?
You know, I wouldn't mess with it. There's so much history. I mean, you know, do the Cowboys ever change their uniform and helmet? You know, you can see all the backlash going on with the Rams right now. I saw that Eric Dickerson went to the front office and he's trying to get a change. But, you know, do the Raiders change their logo? Does Dallas change the logo? You have these kind of iconic, you know, brands, and especially for the city of Cleveland and all the Browns fans throughout the world. I don't think they'd want to change it. And as a player, you know, you mess with the jersey enough and you can tweak things here and there. But, man, I like the old school classic. Just keep it simple.
All right, John, second there most important question. What's for dinner tonight? And with the stay-at-home orders here in the state of Ohio, how are the dinner plans going for the Greco family?
Guys, we're struggling over here. I have a newborn, by the way. My son was born on March 20th, so...
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I like it. Thank you. So we're doing well, and, you know, we were going to be quarantined no matter what with the newborn, so I'm just happy that everybody else is enjoying the same fate. But tonight, I'm going to do some smoked chicken on my Traeger. I bought a thing that's kind of a vertical rotisserie, so to speak, that you can... kind of slice things like maybe a shawarma or a gyro style, if that makes sense, if I'm painting the right picture. And I'm just going to dust them with some barbecue rub and stack some chicken thighs on there and slice them thin and put them on some sandwiches.
Listen to you, man.
I have pictures of you sitting in the locker room in Berea explaining what you're making to the rest of the offensive line and saying shawarma and having guys look at you like they have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, the thing is, that's what you have to teach them. These guys learn valuable lessons in these locker rooms and in these meeting rooms. And some of these guys come in and they're clueless. They're so lost with everything culturally. And you really try to broaden their horizons and expand their mind. And I hope I did that in the culinary world with a lot of the guys that I was around.
John, was that your responsibility? Because Joe Thomas's obviously was horticulture and growing flowers and num-nums and things like that, correct?
Yeah, exactly, yes. Yeah, Joe handled that. But that's the thing. I think all offensive linemen are, I mean, there's no secret that they're passionate about food and eating. It's just the guys want to go through the effort of cooking. But there were a few guys that were passionate about it. I know Joel's an excellent home chef, and a lot of my former teammates were too. But that's the thing. If you get somebody else that's passionate about it, you know, you got to clear your mind away from the X's and O's sometimes. And that was about 95% of our off-the-field conversations.
So wait, do you say Joel Bitone was an excellent chef?
I think so, yeah. I don't know if he would admit that, but I've seen some of the things that he puts together, and his wife sends my wife pictures, and it's not too shabby.
Give me a go-to on him, like the best thing you've seen.
You know, and this sounds simple, but for me, you know, the simple things that are executed the right way make that much of a difference. And I know they make wings at home, and you know, if they're fried or oven-baked the right way with some seasoning and a good sauce. I've seen him make that. I've seen him make tacos and different things and steaks. And that's the thing. You know, everybody can make a steak. Anybody can throw something on the grill. But if you're doing it the right way, it takes it to that next level.
I'm waiting for your cookbook to come out, John. You need to do that. You need to be putting stuff out daily, especially now. We need you more than ever when it comes to daily recipes for guys. I think you're our guy.
Maybe an audio book. I don't know if I can actually go sit through the time of writing it, but maybe that's in the future. We'll see.
All right. We got a plan. John, thank you as always. We appreciate your friendship and being a part of the show, and you two are a super friend of the show. Thanks, John.
Anytime, guys. This was fun.
All right. Appreciate
it. Thank you, John.
John Greco, former Browns offensive lineman on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.